Hello, and welcome to a VO's Journey podcast. My name is Anthony Pica. This show is all about helping the new and upcoming voiceover artists grow their business and sidestep all the crazy things that I seem to step on. I am thrilled out of my mind to bring you today's episode number 203. We have an incredible interview with Brent Allen Hagel, an amazing voice actor. He runs his own talent agency. He has his own studio, and it's all based around trailers and promos. And not only does he do that, but he also teaches other voice actors. He holds workshops, all sorts of things. And I just love this guy. I really do. I've followed him for years. I've watched him progress in the industry. And, he lives out in L.A. Just not only is he a super ridiculously talented guy, but he has helped so many other people. Now he represents lots of people. He's worked, it's interesting, in the podcast, we didn't talk a lot about all the people that he's worked with or the people he represents worked with, the companies, because that wasn't really the focus of the podcast. But, this guy's worked with, you name a company, a major national company, and, Brent or people that Brent represents has worked with them. And I'm just so thankful that he agreed to come on, because I really think that what we talk about in this podcast can really help you, start your voiceover business, grow your voiceover business, especially in the trailer and promo field. I love this field. And just like Brent said, I don't think there's enough help for voice actors in this field. And Brent is doing everything he can to help the industry. So without further ado, let's go ahead and dive into this interview with none other than Brent Allen Hagel. All right, let's do it.
This is VO's Journey. With your host, the incomparable Anthony Pica.
Welcome to a VO's Journey, my friend. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
Yes, man. I had to say, for those of you who have followed a VO's Journey for a long time, Brent holds a very special place in my heart, just because he was the guy who gave me a shot a long, long time, years ago. I think when I was scared out of my mind to even talk to people, he gave me a shot, came onto the show. I think it was a podcast a couple years ago. And, I remember you just telling me, dude, it's okay. We're going to be all right. You're good to go. And ever since then, I followed you, and you are just a kind, kind man. And so welcome to the show. I had to give people that little intro because you do hold a special place in my heart.
Thank you, Brent. No, thank you.
Yeah. For a lot of my audience, they may not know everything that you do, and I thought we could start off by you kind of introducing, yourself, who you are, what you do, how you got in voiceover to begin with.
Okay, cool. I do a variety of things. So I got started by doing extra work. I'm from Los Angeles, or I'm from Thousand Oaks, which is right north. In the San Fernando Valley, essentially. So they do a lot of production and stuff out here. So in high school, I did extra work. I was on Disney shows and commercials and things like that, just walking around in the background. I got to get out of high school and I got to make some money, so it was a sweet deal. And I learned about production and seeing, actors on set and directors and lighting and all this thing. And I just found it fascinating. And one of the days, it was on a Lizzie McGuire set, which is an old Disney show. They were doing ADR in the hallway. It's like a simulated locker room scene. And so essentially all of us kids that are, walking back and forth in the background in the hallways gathered around a boom mic. And then they were saying, hey, everyone clap and everyone, just make chatter. And everyone, we were picking up all these ADR sounds to build the ambience of the show. And then after, I was talking to one of my other peers, I think we were probably 16 at the time, like, what was that all about? And like, well, they were doing ADR, they're doing all these things, and there's a whole world of voiceover. And so ever since then, I kind of just started exploring that. I became the sound guy at my high school. I was a live PA announcer and learned how to cut music for cheerleaders. I worked with an artist, Colby Calais. She went on to be a kind of a big singer. Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, I was just cutting I think it was called Cool Edit at the time, or Sound Forge, one of the early early audio things.
Cool Edit Pro. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I just kind of I didn't really know where to go, like classes or lessons or anything. So I just got my hands on anything audio I could. Local commercials, bumped into people at a party, let them know I did this sort of thing, and became their voicemail and, you know, on their phone. And then I ran into a friend like 8 years later. He's like, dude, I still got you on my voicemail. People love it. But it's just an evolution of telling people around you, that you do this and you're into it. And he got a good ear for it. And then I'd also go to Universal Studios Hollywood a lot and listen to all the pre-recorded announcements from the tram tour and all the rides. I had a season pass and I lived local. So I just kind of immersed myself in kind of the Hollywood and film area, and became fascinated with it.
Wow.
That's a short, long story.
No, that's great. That's great. One of the things I love about you, especially kind of in the world that I live in with voiceover right now, is, you really, I know you do a variety of things, but you focus a lot on trailer voiceovers, promo voiceovers. I find that world fascinating just because, video narration is such a mass, it's become 80-90% of the voiceover industry, and trailers and promos from what I do and stuff. I guess I just don't do a lot of them, so it always fascinates me. I love it, and I love watching you do it. You're so good at it. I want to ask you, with everything going on right now and with just the switch over to social media so much from movies and TVs, how is the trailer voiceover world, and promo world today?
Well, I think it's more vibrant than ever in one sense, because there is all the streaming services are launching, Disney Plus, Paramount Plus, Hulu, all these need marketing. So essentially I work in an area of voiceover called creative entertainment marketing. So there are marketing TV shows and movies to audiences. It's not so much of a commercial or a narration. It's more of, hey, this new show is coming out, and we're kind of selling you the idea of the show. It's a drama, it's a thriller, whatever it may be. They're not using VO in first run trailers. Like if you go to a movie theater and sit down and watch a trailer, most likely it won't have VO. They're using VO on the marketing campaign on TV and radio to get you to go see the movie. Gotcha. So those are called TV spots. So if you go onto YouTube and you type in so-and-so movie, the name of the movie, then TV spot after it, you'll see they'll probably make 1 to 40 of those TV spots, cut downs and different. They're showing one pitch is for kids, one pitch is for young adults. So they're targeting key different demographics with the different versions of the cuts. As far as promo, again, same. All these networks are launching. And I brought that up because the networks or the streaming services are also playing movies, like HBO Max is doing both same day. So we're entering this weird time of going to a theater is becoming voluntary due to COVID.
Yeah.
Nobody knows if the plan is for it to be like that in the future or for it to go back to theaters. That's a whole rivalry. But so right now when you're voicing something, it'll most likely say and streaming same day on so-and-so service, or on demand so-and-so service, or it'll say only in theaters. They'll make a specific point to let you know you have to go to the theaters to see this. But yeah, I think as long as we continue to make movies and TV shows, there'll always be a human actor that needs to relay the emotions of that film to an audience in order to get viewership. And that goes to your question number 6, which we can get to later.
I was looking at that. I was like, yeah, that's a perfect segue. But I still want to get back to the evolution that you've gone through personally. Because I think it's it's inspiring for people like me too, because, you know, I started not really knowing anything about the voiceover business, and I'm, you know, building my way up, and then seeing you and following you, and then seeing your evolution to what you do now from when I first started following you is really wonderful. It's incredible. Talk about, if you would, now everybody knows what you do and everything like that, but your evolution between starting your voiceover business and from being the trailer guy and the promo guy and doing the old things back on Instagram to where you are now, and you have a studio, and I'm not sure if it's an agency or studio, but you definitely represent people, at least I see. So talk a little bit about that. It's really exciting because I think a lot of people, I know for me, I'm really blown away by what you've been able to accomplish. So I'd love to hear about that from you.
Okay. So yes, Trailer Voice Artist Agency is a licensed talent agency in the state of California. So I run a talent agency, but I operate as a management company because I'm not SAG franchised. So okay. I find the jobs, I connect the jobs. If it's a union job, their agent will process the work. So okay. I work in tandem with a talent's agent. So I'm kind of a headhunter. So I'm a connector of talent to buyer. So gotcha. I started wanting to be a voice actor. I didn't know what that meant. And as I started exploring it, I tried all the different genres. Phone systems and narration and commercials and promos and trailers and all of these things. Auto dealerships, you name any type of voiceover, I've done it. And I tried it all, and I just picked what made me the happiest and something that I enjoyed the most. And that happened to be the promo and trailer genre. For some people it's video games. For some people it's other things. This is right. What I happen to have the most passion for. And if I'm going to live this life, I'm just going to do something I love every day. I'm not going to, you know, because I had to do a bunch of stuff I didn't want to do to get where I am. Like I flipped hamburgers for 2 years straight to make money for voiceover classes. You know, I have no sympathy for people who are like, oh, I don't need to take a class. Yeah, you do. And you need to work and spend money to do it. Okay. Well, you have to pay your dues. So anyway, I paid my dues. I went to a lot of voiceover workshops. I spent many, many nights washing dishes and waiting tables to get this money to go to work with a lot of teachers here in Los Angeles. I signed with my first talent agency. I got a few small gigs. And then I started realizing that I need to market on my own. I had not realized that yet, that I am running my own business. I wasn't aware of that business side. I was just an actor who was, you know, waiting for my phone to ring because my talent agent is supposed to, you know, go out there and hustle jobs and call me every day with jobs. That's what I thought happened. I didn't know any better, you know? So I realized that is not so much the case, and that the talent agents, although that they may be doing some outreach, they're already working with a lot of established clients that and they're necessarily handling the booking and the billing for that. They don't necessarily have to market as much because they're established talent agencies and have been around for 15, 20, 30 years. Like producers know where they are and they know where to get voices. So, and every talent agent it could be a single person like me, or it could be a team of eight people that, you know, and all those people have connections. So anyway, back to me. I worked on all these different genres, and I found that promos and trailers was the most fun for me. I enjoyed doing it. I still do commercials and I still do the other work, you know, if it's something I agree with, I pass on a lot of stuff. If it's not for my voice, and I work with a lot of voices, so I know like there's a lot of people out there that are really good for certain jobs. So if I look at something and I'm like, oh, so-and-so would just, and they probably got this too. Like they're just going to demolish this thing. Not saying I don't want to compete with them. I'm just saying I know the level of talent that's out there.
Yeah.
And if I see something and it's for me, then I'll give it a shot. This comes back to running the agency. Yes, I'm an agent and I'm also a talent, but like I said, a majority of things are not written for me. 95% of things are not written for me. They're written for a particular voice I know in my head. And my value is giving the client the best voice for the job. I think that's the most important thing. Because again, they're going to look good for their bosses, they're going to look good for their customers. There's kind of a knack I have for getting to know talent in the waiting rooms at the talent agencies, getting to work with talent when I started coaching. I just, I know a lot of talent and I work with a lot of talent, and there's just so much work out there that there's enough for everybody. And I think
I love that.
Once you know what it is that you want, once you know what it is your voice is, then it'll just be so much easier for your management or for your own branding to just, you know, kind of make your mark or your hole in the industry and just really go for those jobs that are perfect for you. I kind of digressed from my journey, but I just want to kind of explain my thought process as to what it is that I'm doing and why. I'm really trying to build the next generation of great storytellers for promo and trailer. Just because no one's really doing it, not to an official extent, at least. I mean, there's existing companies out there that may get this work, but I don't see any sort of talent development programs. I don't see any sort of educational resources. I don't see any sort of, hey, work with this producer, they'll tell you exactly how to do it. I just don't see a lot of that in an official capacity. So I've created also a workshop system, and it's something that I wish I could have put myself through in the past. And I sit in on every session. I'm still learning daily. I'm still growing. I'm observing talent, putting people in a workshop with 12 other or 11 other artists that are all at different levels. I've just witnessed it. Accelerates the growth and success of an actor immensely. You're reading with and along with people that have been doing it for 10, 15, 20 years, or maybe this is their first session and they're just they don't really know what's going on. But what better way to learn than just doing it? And there's no school for this, which has been kind of an issue. So Trailer Voice Artists is a talent agency. It's also a talent development company. And then I also, we built the studio/office to run it out of.
I love that. I've said it many times, and I really do feel what you are. You know, I've always looked at myself as a lifelong learner. I love to learn. And when you look around, there's so, I mean, we do have a continual flood of people coming into the industry, and there really is a lack of definitely communication when it comes to levels too, of where your different places are in the country or the world about actors, what they're doing. That's why I wanted to talk to you so much, because to me personally too, trailers and promos is such a really cool part of the industry. But you know, I think a lot of people view it, because they don't know any better, as being something that's like over here that, you know, I don't even know anything about that. And this kind of leads me into my next question to you, which is, knowing what you know now, you know, my audience, I have a lot of people who are just starting out or trying to grow their business. How would you recommend specifically someone now? And I know, and again, a lot of them are not in LA or New York. So how would you recommend voice actors now who are interested in trailers and promos and this type of voiceovers get into it?
I would recommend that you go on YouTube and watch as many promos and trailers as you possibly could, and then just run simulations. Just put your voice in, mix your voice in, cut your voice in, learn audio editing, learn how to do that. Learn how to make hundreds and hundreds of or thousands of simulations. I call them simulations because you're simulating the voice, the network buying your voice and using it. What would it look like? If this product that you're looking at on your screen right now that you've just made is not better than what just went on air, you still got work to do. They're not going to hire you unless you're better.
So what you're saying is literally, and I actually remember watching you do this on Instagram for years.
Yep.
And at the time, so what you were doing, so everybody knows, and so I'm being cryptic. What your videos were? They were 1 minute clips or less, and you were in the booth recording a voiceover, and then you would show it being you putting it into an actual promo or a trailer with the video, with all the sound, with all the bells and whistles and showing that. And at the time, I did it because when I didn't know you, I didn't know that it was actually you were literally doing, you were practicing, you were showing that to everyone. I didn't know that because I didn't know you. And so this is kind of what you're talking about, right? Is taking these things, practicing, putting it in there, learning how to mix all the stuff yourself.
Exactly. And you don't have to post that on Instagram. You can post yourself just reading, and you don't have to post any of this on the internet if you don't want to. But you can post your performance, sure. But how, I mean, say you did get the job and you know, it's showing up to a job on the first day with no experience and you're just going to be lost and you're going to make it hard for the producer to do their job and you're going to frustrate everybody. So you have to have some sort of training. So you can take a promo class or do some promo workshops. But I'm saying is the concept of getting used to and familiar with the work. The question was, how do you start doing this? So you would join some workshops. I run some at trailervoiceartist.com. We have writer producers for promos come in and teach, essentially run simulations with you. One run down copy. This would go here. There's a turn here. There's a sound effect here. So your voice needs to play in all these different things. Promo is really, it's similar to, I guess, radio imaging, where you have a certain amount of time and you got to hit these certain markers, but with certain like emotions at the same time. It's very fun. It's like a little dance, like a little ballet. And it's all happening in real time on your headphones. It's not, you don't pre-record it and send it in. You hear three beeps and then you're working, like your brain has to move pretty quick to do it. It's a lot of fun. I enjoy it. But there's a lot of people who teach promo. And those people are usually, hopefully, people that are still cutting promos. Or still connected in some way with a management company or a talent agency, that if they hear something really good, everyone likes to be the person who discovers the next great voice, the next Don LaFontaine or something, right? So everyone's, it's a very supportive community. But the best way to do it is to do this practice. You can practice yourself. It's free. What I told you just costs you no money. Unless you start taking the workshops, which are still, you know, not that expensive. One promo will pay it off, or, you know, a campaign will pay it off multiple times. So don't worry about the money. If you want to work, focus on the craft and get good at it. Again, because it comes down to the day you get the job, the day they dial you up on the session, are you going to know how to play the game, yes or no? So working with a coach in a safe space, running these things. So when you're like, oh, I recognize this. I know how to do this. We did this in workshop. Okay, yeah, here we go. Let's do this thing. Then you're confident. You know, in the voice, they get a good product. Then they'll come back and use you more.
That's awesome. So that's how you get started with getting familiar with it, getting better at it, learning it. How do you go? Let's say you've done this for a while. You're like, okay, I'm feeling I got to start trying to get work.
Okay.
So the next thing is, you know, what steps do you take to find the work?
Well, it depends on what promo means to you. If promo means I want to be the voice of ABC, NBC, Fox, a major national network, or does promo mean I want to be the voice of my local news station or local, you know, the definition of promo is very large. So let's run with the simulation of you want to be the voice of CBS or ABC on a national level that plays across the entire country, right?
Okay.
Then where is the headquarters of this office? If it's CBS or Fox, it would be most likely in Los Angeles, in, you know, close to downtown, or in New York, right? These are these two places where the company office is. So that's ultimately where the people making the decisions are and live. So it would make sense if I were to get an agent as close to that building as possible, because that agent, voiceover agent, most likely knows people inside that building.
Right. So
if I wanted to work with people inside that building, I would connect with that agent who knows people that work inside that building. So the answer to the question, I was going the long way about it just to kind of show the logic, the thinking, that if you want to work for a company, find out where their headquarters is and contact them with the closest talent agent. It seems pretty, when you think about it, the proximity and everything. But yeah, most of this work is run through top talent agencies in Los Angeles and New York, because those are the people who have networked with the producers and writers and senior vice presidents of marketing at those establishments.
Gotcha. So what about the local level? Is it the same thing, the same type of thing?
I don't think so. I think there are some agencies that represent imaging voices across the country. So those have maybe a deal with all of the Fox affiliates across the country, or all of the ABC affiliates across the country in every major city for the news stations and things like that. So then you would still need to be with one of those talent agents. But on a local level, I would just write a nice email or make a phone call and let them show them your demo and try to sell yourself. This is it's a personal sales job. That's VO is a sales job. It's a marketing and sales job. That's the whole thing. It's a marketing and sales job. 99% of the work is that. 1% of the work is that day you get to show up and actually voice the thing. Like that's the reward, is getting to voice it.
Right. Yeah. No, that's the, I love that. And I wanted to, you mentioned the agents and talent agents and stuff. And I know there's a big, like, and even me, I know I, throughout my, like, I don't have an agent, which is no honest particular reason other than I just don't, cause I've never gone after one personally. But is there, you know, what are you seeing from the sense of agents? Is that, and I apologize for maybe my naivety, but is agents and agencies still, you know, are you like, I guess the battle between agents or agencies and independent people, do you see any, is there fighting there, or not fighting is the wrong word, I guess. What are your take? Cause I know you're on the agency side and there's a lot of people on the independent side. So I guess what my question is, what are you seeing there where you are as opposed to agents and independent representation?
I understand the question. It's a good question. So there's two different ways to do this, because you have to understand how the system is set up. And again, I like to explain this to people, because if you don't know the rules, you can't win at the game. Hmm. And so I will explain to you how the game is played. So okay. I am Honda, and I want to launch a massive campaign. So I'm going to contact 3 or 4 advertising agencies and say, I am Honda. I have a lot of money. I need you to build me a campaign. I want to launch it on radio, TV, web, worldwide. So I'm going to go after 4 advertising agencies that I know and have them all pitch me back a campaign. And I'll sit in the boardroom and I'll watch these advertising agencies come in and pitch me all the different ideas they have. And I'll pick one. So you guys got it. You got the campaign. And they'll say, okay, we're going to run, we're going to go shoot 4 TV commercials that are 30 seconds long, and we're going to make 15 radio ads, and we're going to target these markets, and we're going to do all these things. It's going to be awesome. Okay, we have all this shot and done. Now, since I am a big advertising agency and I have a lot of money from Honda, I'm going to contact a casting director for voiceover. And I have already contacted a casting director for on camera for the other things, but now it's time. We're about to ship, right? So I'm going to contact a casting director who is a great friend of mine. We've worked a long time together. And I'll say, hey, I got the Honda campaign here at the agency. We need voices. We need auditions for this Honda campaign's going global. So then they will reach out to the local talent agents around them. So let's say we're LA based. They'll probably go to, they'll probably send out maybe 6 agents, maybe 7. And each will probably audition, I don't know, 100 people. Maybe more, 100 people, male and female, depending on what they're asking for. So right now we're about 700 auditions as casting director is going to listen to. And I'm being very conservative in that number. So now a casting director, they listen to the 700 auditions. And then this is a union job specifically is what I'm talking about. And then they'll pick their 10, top 10. And then you'll be shortlisted. And then those top 10, they'll notify the agents of those top 10. Hey, you're on hold. They're going to take those voices and go pitch them back to the advertising agency. These are the 10 as the casting director I think are the best for your campaign. And they'll say, okay, yep, okay, we showed it to the client. Client likes, you know, Samantha Smith.
Right.
So, okay, all right, I'll give Samantha Smith's agent a call and we'll set up the record date. So that's how that flow works all the way from the idea of a big major company down to an actual voiceover being cast for the role. I think explaining that to people, no one just sits down and says, hey, this is how the game's played. This is how it works.
Right.
You just kind of figure that out over time. But as far as your question, that's a big union job that I just described. If I was a smaller advertising agency, I can just go to Fiverr.com or any other place and get a voice same day.
Yeah.
And then I can present that to my client. They like it or don't.
Right.
So it just depends on the scale at which what you're after. If you're after a worldwide brand campaign that can obviously pay more money, then you would go with the casting director, LA talent agent route. If you're just trying to make a living as a voice talent and work on commercials on pay-to-play sites, you know, it just depends on what you're after. There's no shame or anything in either way. Like you could wait around for years with a big agency and not get a single campaign. Whereas if you were working on your own, you probably would have done 30 or 40 spots.
Right. No, absolutely. I had to. Okay, so you brought it up, so I just have to ask. With Fiverr, this is a question, and I have my own personal opinion, but I want to ask you. Do you see there's this idea that people who participate on Fiverr or pay to play sites get some sort of bad name when it comes to agencies or different people looking for voice talent? Do you, you know, just from your experience, have you experienced any of that? Have you heard any of that kind of stuff? I mean, I think it's probably, and I would imagine so much has changed because over time, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago might be different. But do you know what I'm asking?
I do. I think the fear is the race to the bottom, where I think they literally think that you're selling your voice for $5. Mm-hmm. I don't think they understand that you can attach packages and get it up to $150, $200, $300, $400. I don't think they know that you can get it up to fair market value through the Fiverr system, that it's a platform. Yes. I think most people that would say something like that think they sold their voice for $5 when it should have been $2,000.
Right.
And that and it was of close quality. And mm-hmm. so I'm here, you know, struggling, trying to charge my rates, but some other person got the job for $10.
Right.
You know, there's a lot to be said about that. Like if I'm an advertising agency and I'm willing to buy a VO for $10, I'm probably not showing my client the best thing, but I understand that everyone needs to start somewhere. So I'm not, I don't shame any pay to plays. I started on pay to plays. I found them extremely difficult to navigate. If someone is having a good amount of luck and making great money, $80,000, $90,000, $100,000, $120,000 on a pay to play, good for you. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. You figured it out. You know?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I agree with you. No, thank you for saying me personally, you know, we all started somewhere, but many people know, I don't do, it's a long time that I've done jobs under $100 or anything like that. And you can make, you know, I make six figures through Fiverr alone. So this is, you know, it is a different world, with different types, cause you do all kinds of different things, but no, thank you for that. I was always interested because, you know, you hear that. So you hear it less, than years ago, but it's still, I think, out there. And I do think you're right. I think some people still think, you know, it's just, you can only charge $5 or something, and that's just not the way it is. All right, so let's dive into, because I was interested, you and I were talking a little bit about equipment. So, because, you know, I'm a gear junkie. I know you probably are too. Most of us are. For trailers, promos, what you do, is there any particular type of equipment that you specifically recommend, for people looking to get into this type of voiceover?
Okay. So if you're going to be doing promo and trailer, you're going to need a certain level of broadcast quality equipment. That can consist now of only three pieces, which is your Sennheiser 416 shotgun microphone, mm-hmm. your Apollo Twin or Apollo Twin X, and a laptop. You are now competitive. Assuming you have a closet or a quiet space with no helicopters flying over you, that's $1,000, probably, what's that, another $800, $1,800 in a laptop and a closet, you're in the game.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Now it comes down to what's more important, having fancy equipment or being good.
You know? Yeah, absolutely.
There's a lot of people who can go out and buy $2,000 worth of equipment. Doesn't mean you can know how to work with a producer in real time on a fast animation promo for Disney. You know, that takes some training, unless you just are, I don't know, I just don't think that's possible. So the real investment should be in you knowing how to do the job. You know, people pay for college, people pay for trade school, people pay to go learn how to do a job. Unless you are blessed enough to be able to shadow somebody working at a network or something like that, you would just want to know what to do. So I do hope that some of the content I put out helps people in that process. That was kind of part of the idea as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so with the equipment and everything you just mentioned and the training, with COVID and everything, are you seeing the reemergence of people getting back into studios? I know, you know, I watch you. I know you get studios, but is there still, or is it, we'll never go completely back with you know, like Source Connect and IP Diddle and all that kind of stuff like that. What is your thoughts on connecting? You know, because there's, like we were talking before, there's not a lot of, not everybody's in LA, not everybody's in New York. So they can't get to studios, but they might work. So what is your take on what's happening from COVID-19 moving forward with studios and working from home?
Okay. I just want to say real quick that you don't need to live in LA and New York to do trailers. A lot of people don't, but their agent is here. So if okay. their agent is here and they have the connection, they can work from Florida or Ohio or wherever. It doesn't matter.
Love that. Thank you.
Yeah. So, sorry, remind me of the question. I just wanted to, that tangent popped into.
Yeah. Your thoughts on from COVID moving forward with studios and home studio.
I think animation and video games opened up on a national scale due to it. I think that video games will probably stay that way. I think animation, the art of having multiple people in a room for chemistry is something that cannot be replicated via Zoom. So I think as soon as possible, people are returning to record TV shows. I think as soon as that vaccine comes out, I think things will pick up pretty quick in Los Angeles. And also actors and producers like to work together. They enjoy that process. For the promos, there's no time to do that. A promo session is like 10 minutes. Hey, what's going on? Yeah, how's the leg? Okay, let's do this thing. We got four of them. Okay, see you later. Bye. It's like just, you know, right. We got it. They don't have time. Commercial sessions, I have seen them happen in person. On the brief, it'll say can come in if they desire, but if they want to work from their broadcast studio, they can. You know, the advertising agency won't have to pay for studio time, so that's going to affect a lot of local Los Angeles, you know, studios who that was their bread and butter money. So, you know,
right.
A lot of things have shut down and been rearranged, and entire talent agencies have disbanded, and so a lot of things have changed. But I think wearing a mask, showing up, and everyone's pretty safe here, so if they want you to come in, they'll do it. There's really no reason for a commercial or maybe a narration session, just because it's going to be long. But I see everything happening from home. It's just so much more convenient and quicker. And you have your own equipment set up. You know, they don't have to pay. I mean, maybe they pay for a studio engineer. If you just send them the files, they don't need to do that. There's just a lot of jobs that kind of got pushed to the wayside due to the technology. But that happens in every industry. But I think it's beneficial for people. COVID is beneficial for people who don't live in LA and New York.
Definitely.
Yeah, it just even the playing field. So instead of the local talent that was always submitting to the local casting director, now they're getting stuff from all over the country.
Yeah. You know, I will say that I do think that it is good. Like you were just mentioning, for people not in LA, New York, but I do think that being in the theater, as long as I have been, and being a director and an actor, and there is something special. I wish people could get that experience of working with a director, working with someone who can help you find something that you don't know is there. And there is something special about that. And I do miss that myself, just working alone, because we direct ourselves. We have to be the director as well as the actor. So I do miss that. But I know there's directed sessions, but I do think that there's pros and cons to everything, right? I mean, you're going to lose something there.
It's also a lot of fun to work in person with people. And it's also very, I would say it's probably more nerve wracking, just cause there's like four or five people behind the glass staring at you, and like, they're all whispering. You don't know what they're saying. It's a little more nerve wracking. So it's a very, challenging process the first couple times you do it, but it helps you grow. Like, it's like one of those hard things that if you do it and get comfortable with it, then you're going to be better for the rest of your life at the craft.
Awesome. I want to have one little thing before we get into the thing that is on everybody's mind, which is AI. But the real quick thing is, what do you really quickly recommend for people at their home studios to connect with larger studios? We know Source Connect. What other things are out there that you see possibly being used that you could recommend?
I would only suggest Source Connect or IPDTL.
Okay.
IPDTL, okay. And Source Connect. Assuming they still have ISDN boxes, which I doubt, but they might. IPDTL would be able to do that. But I see most sessions are on Source Connect, or some they may have a specific platform that they built, like you have here with this. They may have some sort of specific thing that I don't even know about. Some sort of Chrome-based connection software.
Well, they're really amazing. I mean, what Brent's talking about is I'm using a new system called Riverside.fm, and it's a system that was built like for this. I mean, I think Hillary Clinton and stuff recently used this on some of her interviews or on her interviews. I mean, it's a big, big new platform, but there's tons of these new platforms that are out that are streaming over, like you said, through Chrome and different things that are pretty impressive. So who knows where the technology will take us. All right, let's get into AI, because I think that's, you know, there's not a day that goes by that either A, I don't get an email with someone trying to sell me AI, voiceover, or, you know, where people aren't worried about it. So what are your thoughts? I want to hear Brent's thoughts on AI.
This is great. So there's two ways to go about this. There's one that could be beneficial and one that could be detrimental. One would be that I record X amount of words in my voice, and then I license my voice, and I am paid without having to do the actual work, which, you know, assuming it's a fair rate, would be beneficial. They're licensing my voice. I get paid. I don't do anything, and I can go do my other work. The detrimental one would be that companies that don't want to pay for voiceover just ultimately type in something into a somewhat good sounding AI voice, and they just use it on all of their commercials. So my thoughts on that is, knowing the people who create content, they're too artistic and clever and creative and enjoy working with voice artists that they would probably not go that route unless the advertising agency just simply said there is no budget, you have no choice. Even then, right. I think they would probably push back. But I can see it if I am a small business owner and I don't have a budget for a voiceover or even know or care what that is, just because I have no experience in that. I'm just paying, you know, Tony to shoot my video and put this thing on YouTube. Like, I don't know. I think that's where an AI voice is probably something they would use, to just because they don't know any better, or the budget isn't there. So I'm saying, like, probably local stuff, maybe regional stuff might get hit, but definitely. And you might see it creep into mainstream stuff as they kind of experiment on the public with it.
Right.
But then they'll probably run focus groups and all kinds of stuff to see what people thought of it. I actually saw AI in a trailer on social media, but it was kind of about an email. The trailer was about emails and things like that, so it made sense in the context. And I was like, did they use an AI voice for this? And I was like, they did. But then I actually watched the context of the trailer, and it made sense.
Yeah, I know for me, I get a lot of jobs, actually, from people who have tried to use AI. And then they come back and they're like, listen, this is not – we got to use a real person, because they tried – and they just weren't happy with it. So I do think there's a ways to go, but I like what your idea. And when I was talking to Penguin Random House Audio the other day on the podcast, we were talking about this too, this idea of licensing our voices for that purpose. Because I do think, like, for me, I know, especially in long form narration or things like that, it's nice. There are some benefits to having, like, on pickups and things like that, on longer form narration. That would be nice. You know what I mean? To be able to not have to call people into a studio again or something like that. So there are some benefits to it.
Or what if you can get an 8-hour audiobook done in 11 minutes because they have...
Well, that's what... Right. Right. I mean, it takes people... I always say that it takes people so long, but that's a challenge though too, right? Because I think, you know, like we were talking about storytelling.
Sure.
I mean, there's just... the way you tell it, the way the different storytellers, and I just don't see anytime soon... I'm not saying it won't happen in the future, but I can't. It's just it's telling a story is so unique to the individual as well, that it's very difficult to try to recreate that with a robot. Because there's got to be a story there for the robot to tell. The robot doesn't understand unless a person is so I think it's a ways off with that.
Agreed. It would just be somebody reading words out loud. Mm-hmm. It would be a narration. It wouldn't be storytelling. It'd be a narration.
Mm-hmm. I do like the idea of my voice being you. Like, if I could license software myself and have it do a little bit of voice. You know what I mean? I think that would be great, and I would be for that. But I do say, and I do caution voice actors, and I don't caution voice actors a lot, but I do, you know, because I want them to run their own businesses the way they want to. But they do caution them, because there are a lot of unfortunate, some not nice companies out there taking advantage of voice actors and getting them to record their voices and then giving them rights to it. And then they're, you know, these voice actors are left not realizing that they've cloned their voices and everything. And so that's, but that's again, their business. But they didn't know. A lot of them don't know what's happening to them.
Exactly. So yeah, that would be, that's a no-no. Then again, there would be some need to be some sort of agency, which like this, you know, Screen Actors Guild, that has a team of lawyers that can go after those people. But if you're a non-union out there on your own, you know, like, again, like Anthony said, be careful.
Yeah, it's definitely hard. I wanted to go into something that is very near and dear to my heart, and I know is near and dear to your heart, because I know you've built an empire through, and that's social media. Yeah. And I wanted to get your take on voice actors today, because I work with a lot of voice actors who, you know, they get social media, but they don't think that, you know, they don't understand why they need to be on it or use it. And I just want to get your take on social media, voice acting, and how those two can be beneficial.
This is a great question, and this is probably something I preach at every single workshop I do. So I just want to, I'm going to lay down two phrases for you. If they don't know you exist, they cannot hire you. Mm. So social media is a way for you to create a living, breathing resume. They can go on your TikTok. I don't have TikTok, but I use Instagram. But you can go on your Instagram, and they can see exactly what you do, and they can pick you up right from there. Another thing I want to say is I would rather have you know I exist and choose not to use me than not know I exist in the first place. So that comes down to marketing. Mm-hmm. I would rather have you know that I'm around and say, like, you know, Brian, you're the right guy. But I'm still aware of you. Thank you for offering. That comes down to pitching. Do not be afraid to pitch. They're just going to say, no, you're not right for us now. You know, have some you know, class when you're pitching. But what is social media? What is it every time you post something that you've won a job you've won? What is it when you post content? You're letting people know that you are a master of your craft. You're pitching yourself. You're saying, Look at the evidence I have to back up what it is I'm saying to you. And you can build a whole profile. Your profile is great. You have you working, you have you teaching and helping guide voice actors ethically as well, which is hugely important as well, along with the business. But I've used social media to film myself performing the craft for multiple reasons. One of them being my own kind of vlog diary. I can visually and audibly hear my progression over the years by scrolling down my feed on Instagram and looking at the first video I ever posted. I have some stuff on YouTube that I have private, so you can't see it. But it's from me like 11, 12 years ago trying to voice a trailer. Wow. I have all of the documented evidence to support my journey. So if I'm ever in self-doubt or anything, or, you know, just want to see measure how far I've come, I can watch that video. It'd be like, oh, today I would have done this here. I would have hit that word like that. I would have given that a rise. Like I know why I wasn't working then. I can think now exactly how a producer thinks when they listen to that and what they're hearing.
That's incredible. I it's so funny. I preach so much about social media, but I've never put it that wonderfully. So nice. I mean, because you were right. I mean, it is a living, breathing document, record of what you are capable of. And, you know, just with this podcast, I can say, even us, when we were talking before and you were mentioning some of the stuff on my feed, on my Instagram feed, so many people now, especially when I contact them to be on the podcast too, what do? They're going to go and look at my social media. And what do they see? They see all of the stuff I do, and all of a sudden now I'm like, oh yeah, okay, well, this guy, yeah, I see it. You are absolutely so right. That is so well put, and I think that is such a good argument then for people to really realize it's not just you're not posting stuff out there just to the ether. It is, you're right, when a living, breathing record. I love that. Great way to put that, man.
Even if it's your first day in VO, take your, you have a smartphone. Just flip the thing around, film yourself reading the first piece of copy you've ever read, and start an Instagram channel. You know, Jimmy Reads VO, whatever you want to call yourself, whatever your name, just come up with a name. Don't change your handle. Don't keep that handle, ride that sucker. So
yeah,
because no one's going to know who you are if you change it. You're just going to get lost. So yeah. Ride that handle out for the next 20 years. And just every time you want to practice, don't worry about what people are going to think, because they're not going to pay you. I mean, those people, the haters, they're not giving you money. It's the one person who's like, that's exactly what I need. That person will find you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love that. So consistency. So you just mentioned 20 years. I know that was just a kind of cuff remark, but consistency is so important. What, you know, when people are doing this in your mind, you know, what is time-wise? I mean, do you feel this is, because I kind of feel this has becomes a lifelong thing we're going to do.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly right.
It's not a, you know, I'm just going to do it overnight. This is kind of forever.
Yes. If you want to do VO, you do it the rest of your life. And then you're
there. You go.
And then when you're David Attenborough, you're still going to rock it at 80 something or whatever. Morgan Freeman is one of the most requested voices. Like those, you know, they're not spring chickens, because there's wisdom in the voice. They know who they are as a person. They're believable. Mm-hmm. They have all these qualities a good actor or actress should have. They know who they are, and you can hear their soul in the VO. It's all true.
Listen, Brent, I'm again so thankful. You are one of the smartest people that I've had the fortune of talking to in this industry, and your teaching is wonderful. And that leads me to ask, you know, tell the listeners how they can learn more about either reaching out to you. I know you do a whole bunch of really awesome, which, by the way, your workshops, what you have coming up, I was looking at some, I'm like, wow, this is great. I got to sign up. So tell everybody, you know, kind of what's coming up and how they can work with you or learn from you.
So I usually teach personally just once or twice a month, kind of intro to VO, or most people want to learn about promo. So we kind of usually do that sort of thing, but commercial as well. I have curated a series of professionals that work in the industry or have enough experience, in my opinion, to give you credible advice about the craft. Very wary of people, you know, talking the talk and not walking the walk. So everyone is currently producing or working, or a creative director or a producer, or we used to be a booth director, or, you know, was intimately tied to the industry. So we have promo workshops coming up with Hallmark, BBC Network. I have, I think I'm trying to get Fox Sports to come on. Awesome. Disney promos. We had Freeform promos, CBS promos. People who are working at the networks are people who work in casting, or are just great actors, and they're kind of at the top of their field for their genre. Those are the people you want to work with and learn from. People that have had documented success. That is, I just keep thinking of, like, where are the aliens? Show me a good photo of the aliens. You know, like, because everyone's trying to get footage that is not on a smartphone, or, you know, it's like always very grainy. When it comes to VO, it's like, you know, don't give me that vague, you know, alien spaceship photo. Like, give me the real, like, concrete, tangible evidence. I created the workshop series because I want actors to not waste their time and money. And it's a very sensitive subject, because I don't want to discredit anybody for the effort they're trying to do. But I would rather have people that are going to be in my circle, or people that I may need to search a source of voice from one day, to be well-educated and to be very pressured and tried and really put through the paces by real working people, because the actual industry will not be polite to you. If a producer wants a read, and they want that, they want the read in their head and they want it now. And if you can't get it, they're just going to get someone else who can. So you need to be good enough to know how to deliver. And that's what a good voice actor in general is knowing what to deliver, when, and knowing how to read the room.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you. And I also like the idea of having multiple coaches.
Totally.
It's so important. And I also wanted to point out, you know, and it's always funny because, you know, I offer a lot of different coaching, but I also wanted to point out that your prices are extremely affordable. And I that's important, I think. I mean, it makes a big deal, because I think people who are brand new as well, you know, can learn. And I know that's a big avenue. You're such a teacher. I've always admired that by you, even from videos. If anyone isn't following you too, by the way, I know we didn't mention it, but on Instagram, it's Trailer. What's your Instagram handle? Because that's really a wonderful place to follow you on.
Trailer VO Brent. So Trailer is a movie trailer, then VO, then BRENT, Trailer VO Brent.
It really is. The stuff that you've put out there and learning from you as you learn yourself and grow is near and dear to my heart, because that's kind of what I try to help other people do. But I think your selflessness and giving is just incredible. So thank you for all you do, my friend, because it is a joy following you and watching you. You're like kind of my I don't follow. Really, a lot of people, actually. I don't actually follow a lot of people in the industry just because I'm working. That's a bad, I think, excuse, but
I'm working a lot. It's a big industry.
But right. But I follow you, and I'm always keeping up with what's going on in all your posts. And I think that's that. Not that it means I'm who am I, but you know, it's a testament, I think, to your. Great job of everything you're doing. So,
well, thank you. You know, as like everyone else, you know, I'm an artist and I'm self-conscious and I'm not always comfortable putting myself on the internet, and I watch it back and I'm like, who is this guy? You know, I have self-doubt just like everyone else, but yeah. It's feedback like that from you. And I got another nice letter this morning from someone else who said, look, watching your three videos you've posted, I've learned more than I've learned in all the coaching I paid for. And just like, that's awesome. And that just made, you know, brought a tear to my eye. So like, it made me feel good that although I may not see it, it is helping people. And that's really what I'm trying to do. And you brought up the prices. It's intentional. We could charge more, but it's intentional that we keep the prices reasonable. I had to pay when I was training the higher prices every time. So yeah. I do this intentionally. So if you want to get in and try it, and even working pros will be in there, it's the half the price of one gig, you know, or, you know, probably a minuscule fraction of a gig.
I was going to say, it's probably less than that. Yeah. I mean, so
for the education. Definitely. But the system is designed to help people. I just, because there's really no one, even like a talent agent won't really sit you down until you have the game is played. Like, because nobody has time, or maybe they don't know, or you really have to talk to like basically like this, or have beers with a veteran, and to really talk about the industry and like what's going on, how it works, and all those things. And just over time, I've had a lot of those talks with people, and mm-hmm. we've discussed our frustrations, and we've discussed what works and what doesn't work. And so everything you're seeing will be me filtering out that information and making the best ethical choices with the information. And that will translate into what you see on Trailer Voice Artists, if that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense. Brent, thank you so much for taking the time and your knowledge. It's always a joy for me personally too, not just for my audience, because I always learn. I learn from everybody, but I feel like I learn so much from you when we get to do these sessions. I'm just like, man, this is like candy for me. So I really appreciate it, my friend. Thank you for your time today. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much.
All right. Have a good one.
All right. See ya.
Again, I want to thank Brent so much for coming on the show. It is always a pleasure to speak with him. He is so knowledgeable. Again, you know, check out his website. There is some incredible workshops coming up. And I know that if you start following him on Instagram, You won't be sorry. So as always, if you get a chance to and you'd like to learn more about getting into voiceover, you can always go to aviosjourney.com and check out more there. Get a part of our Avios Journey Elite group, which we meet Wednesdays and Saturdays every week to help each other grow our businesses. And you can find that at, again, aviosjourney.com. Thank you guys so much for watching, listening rather, because it's a podcast. Thank you for listening, and you have a wonderful, wonderful day. Talk to you later. Bye.